Welcome to Rage You Nerds. I am Mr. Kak, and I am joined on a Friday, like I was in 2021, by my brother Jared, by our friend TJ. We are the nerds, and we're here to rage. Okay, so it's been a minute, right? This is our first show of 2022. We hope everyone's been doing well out there. But much like the latest variant, we're back, and maybe we never truly left. And here we are. Here we are to
what are we discuss, on now? The French variant.
discuss the latest happening in nerdy news. Right, so first up,
remind me if I pick my nose that I am still being recorded.
Yep. By law, I have to tell you you're being recorded for this conversation. Morbius is delayed. That's right. Jared, I'm not the Joker Leto. His next comic book adventure has been delayed for like the 50 millionth time. Now, there is a reason for the delay that seems like a very legitimate one. But this movie has been delayed more times than... God, what was that awful movie? The X-Men movie that didn't feature the X-Men. What was that? It was like
New
the
Mutants.
Yeah, New Mutants. So this movie has been delayed more times than New Mutants, which is not necessarily a film you want to be associated with because it was a bomb. But Sony has a reason for why they are making this change. Why they delayed this? Yeah.
Has it been delayed more times than Ghostbusters Afterlife?
Ooh.
I believe so. I believe this is like now encroaching upon the most delayed territory. Now Sony
now
says
are we talking like short-term delays or are we talking like long-term delays? Like I'm pretty sure saying we're just gonna push it out a month.
I'm pretty sure this movie was supposed to come out in 2020 if we're just being honest.
Okay. I think it was because we did a trailer react to it.
Yeah, we talked about this a long time ago.
30 years ago.
So Sony has said that their reason for this is pretty simple. They love money. And they don't want to do anything to encroach upon the box office haul that Spider-Man No Way Home is dragging in right now. Spider-Man No Way Home is raking in cash hand over fist. It is ridiculous how much money that film is making. And Sony looked back and said, we like to have more money than no money, so we're going to push Morbius to April. So that way, Spider-Man No Way Home can run in theaters for 4 to 5 solid months and make probably near $2 billion from just the box office alone. Boys, do you have any issues with that? Do you care? Are you excited about Morbius, or does another delay just hurt it?
I think me and TJ are going to be kind of yin and yang on this, me being the business guy, TJ being the fan guy. So TJ, tell me why this is a bad idea, and I'll tell you why it's a good idea.
Okay, so... originally the movie was supposed to be released July 10th, 2020. So it's been delayed for 2 years. Why it's a bad idea? I can't say, because honestly, I don't think it is a bad idea.
Oh, he's turncoated on me.
Yeah, I think given Sony's reason behind why they're delaying it again, I think it's very logical and very smart. Like, you don't want to put two competing movies from essentially the same studio against each other. Like if it was a DC movie and against Spider-Man, and DC was like, oh, we're delaying it, then that's one thing. But, like, if it's Morbius, which is a Marvel property, kind of, I guess, now. It's a Spunk property. If that's even what it's called anymore.
That's what we decided upon. That's what you said earlier at the end of 2021, which has forever been scarred in my mind.
Sony Pictures Universe for Marvel something. I don't know. Yeah.
Stupid name. Damn stupid name.
So, honestly, I think it's a good idea. I mean, they've already delayed it so long, but, you know, they haven't sit there and, like, hyped it near as much like during that time. Like, you got a teaser trailer, then you got a trailer, and then that's about all I've seen of it. So yeah. It's not something like Black Widow where they were like, oh, we're gonna keep pushing this out, here's another trailer, we're gonna keep pushing this out, here's another trailer, oh, we're just gonna go ahead and put it on the streaming service and, you know, throw a big middle finger to
get sued by our star. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my take. Jared, what's yours?
Well, exactly the same as you have said. You have thrown us for a whirlwind tonight, Mr. TJ, because exactly. The same studio competing movies. Why would you throw that revenue away when you can go, eh? Because think about this too. There's a lot of people that are really ready to see this, but there's a lot of people that don't give a crap either. And I think they've taken that into consideration and be like, listen, the people that are really going to want to see it don't care if it takes another 2 years to come out. They're still going to go see it, and they're going to buy popcorn, and they're going to buy – they're in. The people that don't care, they don't care. We don't care about them either. Fine. They're not paying our bills. So I think this was a very smart business decision on their part to say, hey, we're not going to compete with our own studio because then everybody loses. If we split money with them, yes, our movie makes money. The tricky part, and I don't know enough about the business to kind of figure out, okay, so the movie's made. It's made,
yep,
to the best of our knowledge. That could be another thing that they're not even telling us. It's like, oh, we're going to delay it again because we don't want to compete with the own studio. Can you come back in here and do a few more retakes? That's probably not it, but I can see them saying, you know, there's no sense in splitting the revenue, even though this film is already made and it costs, I'm just throwing numbers out for simple math, but let's say both films cost $1 million to make. So we want to make more than $1 million on each of them. So if we release them both at the same time and have them compete against each other, this is an economics lesson, nerds. And then we break even because people can't decide which one they want to go to watch. Half go over here, half go over there. I totally understand that. If you release one now and let it make its money, and you just keep, you know, kicking the can down the road a little bit until the fog clears, and then you go, now, those same people that were over here are now coming back here and paying basically twice. So it's either, I think the philosophy is kind of like, we can either break even or double our money. Because when we're talking dollars, this is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And it, when you release, well, like TJ said, competing studios, nobody wins if you're fighting yourself. So now the fans would totally be like, ah, no, we want it now because we've been promised this for 75 years and we're ready for it. But from the studio's perspective, this is a genius move. Don't compete with yourself. You'll lose.
I think it'll be super interesting to know how much production cost for Morbius, because there is a legitimate chance that Spider-Man No Way Home brings in enough money for Sony, who makes the bulk of the money off of the box office release with how their partnership with Disney and Marvel's currently set up, that honestly, Spider-Man No Way Home might cover the cost of Morbius. They may just have a free movie to throw out there and say, yeah, hey, man, if it works, great. We'll keep doing our thing with the spunk of Sony. But if it doesn't work at the same time, it's like, well, Spider-Man made us $1 billion, like, within, like, the first month. Like, did we really lose? Like, did we really lose? People are calling for our heads so that we sell and crumble and go to Disney anyways, but, like, aren't we just making money and having someone else produce our films? Like, doesn't Sony have the sweetest gig of all? Anytime they feel like, oh man, we're about to hit hard times, hey, Marvel, could you make us another Spider-Man film and give us $1 billion, please? And the MCU, like, sees the true value in the Spider-Man character. They're like, yeah, totally. Because they make their, I'm sure they, I don't know what the actual breakdown looks like, but I imagine Disney's probably also getting a pretty sweet cut of a film that's earning $1 billion right now, before even home release and stuff like that.
Agreement if they weren't getting paid for it.
Yeah.
And people at Disney, maybe, I'm not going to talk bad about them. They might be weird, we'll call it.
What are you talking about, Jared?
That was absolutely not Mickey Mouse. It was my own creation that I called Vicky Vouse.
Okay. Anyways.
That sounds like a female lead of a Batman story.
So, you're
Vicky
you're...
Vale, but ugly.
Fun facts: New Mutants was delayed 4 times.
Oh damn!
Black Widow was delayed 3 times.
That'll get you sued.
Ghostbusters Afterlife was delayed 4 times.
Hurtful, yeah.
Morbius was delayed 6 times.
Yeah, they're the title holder, man. No movie. No movie will be delayed more than Morbius. Okay.
So what's...
Go ahead. I was going to say, moving on.
I was just going to say, you noticed it in the difference in Afterlife. Because when Afterlife came out, when we were watching it, I was like, she's older than that.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody in this movie is older than that. When did they start filming this? 2012?
Well, it was originally supposed to be a 2020 release, so they would have filmed it 2019, 2018,
2017,
right?
2018, something like that, you know. And so Annabelle Creation came out around that same time. She looks older in Annabelle Creation than she does in Ghostbusters Afterlife, which came out before Afterlife. Anyway, random tidbit from a person who notices things.
Hey, why did Michael Keaton not do Batman 3, also known as Batman Forever? We have an answer from the horse's Batman's mouth himself. So Keaton has said, you know, this isn't a big stretch. You could just watch Batman Forever and realize probably why Michael Keaton said, I'm good, Joel Schumacher. I think I'm going to go do other things. But Keaton has said that he had a lot of conflicting differences with the philosophical approach that Joel Schumacher was taking with the Batman franchise. To the point that Michael Keaton said, or Joel Schumacher said, you know, why does Batman have to be so sad and angry? To which Michael Keaton basically said, have you not read the character of Batman? Like, his foundation was his parents were murdered before his eyes, and he still hasn't gotten over it. Like, to the point he developed a caped crusader persona. So Joel Schumacher wanted to fun things up, make things a little bit brighter, and Michael Keaton said, no, I am a Tim Burton in Creation. I must live in the refuge of grays and wanting to get nuts. I'll show you nuts. Yeah. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Let's get nuts.
So,
you ever dance with the devil?
So I guess my question, which I love that quote, I guess my question for you boys would be this. So you can either tackle it from the route of, say it's still the Joel Schumacher Batman Forever, and which is the Riddler and Two-Face, and you have Michael Keaton in that role instead of whichever Bat replacement it was.
Val Kilmer.
So could you imagine Michael Keaton in that universe, or inversely, could you try to imagine, and if so, who would be cast? If Tim Burton did Batman Forever, and it was, well, there's an obvious answer for Harvey Dent, it was, oh my gosh, what's his name? He was Lando Calrissian.
That guy.
He
was in the first Batman.
Yes, he was. He was Harvey Dent in the first Batman. So
Carl Weathers.
No, not Carl Weathers.
Oh crap! Now I gotta go look that up.
Yeah, go look it up because it's gonna bother me too. Carl Weathers is that son of a bitch who was supposed to be behind a desk that
been
Arnold
pushing too
went.
Many pencils.
Arnold had to go give a strapping, manly handshake to
Billy D. Williams.
Billy D. Williams. Yes. So Billy D. Williams.
Wait! Stop real quick, and I just want to apologize to everyone in the Star Wars verse for thinking that Carl Weathers was Lando Calrissian. I don't know where the hell my head was at just then and there, but I am sorry. Hello, cat.
There's a cat butt. So we had been talking about Mandalorian. Carl Weathers, that son of a bitch, is in the Mandalorian. So maybe our Star Wars brains got crossed between that. But yes. All I can think of is Carl Weathers, you son of a bitch. Like, what was his name in that? Dalton? Dalton, you son of a bitch.
Dylan,
you son of a bitch.
What's the matter? See how you got you pushing too many pencils?
So,
take it easy on yourself, Dutch.
So, TJ, if Tim Burton had Batman Forever, who do you think he would cast as the Riddler and try to convince me it isn't young Johnny Depp?
Honestly, you know, I had to look this up because I was actually thinking of this, who I think Tim Burton would have cast would have been Robin Williams.
Ooh.
And I actually had to look it up, and he was originally slated to be the Riddler.
What?
Oh.
But was replaced by Jim Carrey following change of directors. Honestly, like, during that time frame when the movie came out, like, I don't know of anyone else who could have been cast who would have been crazy enough to be the Riddler. I think Robin Williams would have done one hell of a job. Can you imagine him in the Riddler outfit?
I think if Robin Williams would have done like a cross between his character, like the creepy, well, what was it? Was it called Small Soldiers? Was that what it was called? Where he's like the creepy toy man that kind of seemed a little bit like, maybe he's not all there. And then the government takes his toys and turns them into machines of war. If it was a cross between that character and his Rainbow Randolph character, he eventually goes on to play in Death to Smoochie. Robin Williams would have been a great villain.
And hold.
Robin Williams would have been a great villain.
Wait for my cue, sir. In 3, 2, 1. Go.
Robin Williams?
So I was thinking like Flubber meets Mrs. Doubtfire.
None like, of y'all are
hello
to this question.
Like a mix between those two, because I can just imagine him just popping in like
hello!
With like this green jacket with the question marks and a green hat with the question marks and some sunglasses, and it should be like hello, like
yeah. Jared, do you think Michael Keaton would have survived the Joel Schumacher universe?
No. I feel like,
hell, Val Kilmer didn't survive it.
No. Went on after that to,
George Clooney. Yeah.
They were like, nope, I'm done. I feel like he could have, I still feel like he could have done it. But I don't think his character as Batman, being the previous two films, would have been as believable. Because Michael Keaton was very, what's the word? Not cold, but very cold. All Batman characters have found a way to be methodical, with the exception of George Clooney, who's just all over the place. And great actor, not Batman. Sorry, George. If you're watching, send us $100,000 piece and I'll change my mind. And an espresso coffee machine that you do on TV.
On your Batmaster card. We were not paid
to say that. Okay. On your Batmaster card, yeah. But like, I don't feel like, so Keaton's character is a lot more, it's kind of like a Christian Bale character where it's a lot more dark. He's a lot more isolated, but he's still kind of human. Like, I feel like a lot of Christian Bale's character, all the human gets kind of taken out. At least for 2 out of 3 films. And The Dark Knight, it was very much his struggle, you know, with Rachel, and he loves her, but he's got to fight. Anyway.
Rachel.
So.
Rachel. Where are they? Where
are they? He can't talk. I think it would have still worked. It just wouldn't have been as good. And I did like Batman Forever, by the way. And shocker here, I'm a Val Kilmer fan. And most of what he does, I think he's a great actor. And I think the cast you had there was, I don't want to say expertly put together, but it really, really worked. So let's just say we keep Michael Keaton as Batman. So how do we change it up to make a little bit more off the wall? How can you get more Riddler than Jim Carrey? And the answer to that question is, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
You're not expecting this. You ready? Mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy.
Mm. You're correct. I was not expecting this.
Eddie Murphy as the Riddler.
Yeah.
Because he can match the energy of Carrie and still have that kind of X factor. Now, when we go to Harvey Dent, you know, I think Harvey Dent presents a more complex figure. So though I don't believe Lando, could have pulled that off. It should have been Whoopi Goldberg. No, just kidding.
I agree. But Whoopi Goldberg's character from Star Trek.
Did you just sister act us?
But follow me on this. Follow me on this for just a second. Harvey Dent's character, and I don't know. I feel like it's a bit of a stretch, but I could totally see something like this going down. And he was way too big at the time, and still is now. But like, and I feel like I go back to this guy for anything that I feel I could pull off any kind of quasi goofy role. Tom Hanks. Let that sink in for a minute. Now envision it.
I feel like Hollywood has protected, maybe it's in his contract, where Tom Hanks can't be a villain, right?
Probably so, but I mean, just think about it for a second.
I'm thinking. I just see him yelling about a volleyball.
In 1996, 1997, when did this come out? Six, seven, eight, something like that. We were still in school. So he was doing Castaway and Saving Private Ryan. But I mean, I feel like Tom Hanks could totally, because I mean, look at the diversity in his roles. And when you ask for diversity, trying to play two characters at once, especially from that perspective of Two-Face, where he's basically talking to himself, you know, the good side's talking to the bad side, or well, the less bad side is talking to the bad side. I would like to have at least seen it tried. The only other person that was on my short list for this, because I know he could do it, but I think it's almost too much comedy, would be Matthew McConaughey for Two-Face.
All right. I'm going to flip this
sure
coin.
Sure thing, Bruce.
I'm going to flip this coin.
All right. Head. I'm going to flip this coin. Do your job, sailor.
Heads, you get away. Tails, you gonna die.
While we can all agree that it's not the greatest Batman movie ever made, as a matter of fact, it's just downright bad, let's just go ahead and give props to Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey for putting on a clinic of how to overact.
They were very hammy. Yes, I agree.
It was very much one trying to upstage the other. And yes. I mean, it came across perfectly.
It seemed like they were given, you know how like some actors, they like go and read the comics or whatever. It seemed like they were told, hey, go watch the Adam West Batman and do that, but 100 times. Like, like outdo them, all right? Outdo the Penguin on that. Outdo Cesar Romero on that. Like, go have your fun. I have to cough again. Maybe I'm dying. Who knows?
That was my impression of Mr. Cat coughing.
All right, so I think, which I mute my mic most of the time. I think we should probably avoid videos for this evening. So we're gonna stretch out our talking points. So we'll save for after the break. We'll do our battles. So let's go ahead. Let's cover another topic while we get to our break deadline. And the next
round
conversation
two, fight
up is let's do from an old Batman to a new Spider-Man who maybe could have been a young James Bond. So apparently Tom Holland of Spider-Man fame pitched an idea of him being young James Bond. While it didn't come to any fruition, it did essentially lead him down the path of his Uncharted movie, which is coming out here soon, which is based on a video game, and it has him, as one article I read saying, becoming very Indiana Jones-like. But my question to you boys is, would you have liked to seen a young James Bond? And if so, does Tom Holland fit the mold of young James Bond? And a third question, I guess a question we have to tackle before we get to the other two is, the hell is a young James Bond?
I would actually like to address that first and foremost, because I feel like, and TJ, I know you're, you know, kind of a quasi Bond fan, but it's kind of like the Matrix. You're like, yeah, it's there, but I don't care. and that may be overstretching.
No,
no, no, no, nailed it. Nailed it. You got it. You got it. So I kind of agree with you, Mr. Cack. Now, do I think he would be a good James Bond? Sure. But maybe a pre-James Bond, because here's the thing. This is what I've always said about James Bond. It's kind of like Doctor Who. So James Bond is an alias, is 007. He's not James Bond. His name is Thaddeus McCormick or some other posh British name. Tom Smith. Tom Holland, maybe, perhaps. You become James Bond. You become 007. So maybe a what I would like to see is maybe a pre-James Bond with him at MI6 learning and training to be the next James Bond. Because here's what I think about James Bond. Now, Sean Connery, all the rest that have done James Bond so well, Daniel Craig, the other guy, insert edit here, Pierce Brosnan, that's his name. The only James Bond to get caught in a drive-by fruiting. Mrs. Doubtfire reference.
But like, right quick, Kung Fu Kebab's in chat and says hello to you, Kung Fu Kebab. We say hello. All right, continue, Jared.
Hi, Kung Fu Kebab. Pleasure to have you here. Welcome to the madness. All right, so I kind of think that James Bond has to be a seasoned vet. He has to be older. He's the guy who's been around MI6. Now, Q, on the other hand, yes, young guy, young whippersnapper, technology expert, makes gadgets. He's not an old guy. Q's not an old guy. They've had old guys play Q, and that's fine because it works. But, like, I feel like Q is the young and up-and-coming 18-year-old that, like, should be the head of NASA. But, you know, they captured him. They're like, no, build devices for this man. But, no, James Bond, 007, should be a seasoned vet, should be an older character. If we're trying to make him younger, it should be a training to be James Bond kind of thing. And I realize when people see this, I might take some flack for this because people disagree with me. But I really think James Bond, again, 007, is an alias and it is not a person. It is an identity for MI6 and such and so forth. So that's my opinion on it. I would not like to see him as James Bond. I would like to see him training to be James Bond.
All right, fair.
And scene.
TJ, your thoughts?
Yep. Haven't we already seen a young James Bond? I mean, I think the movie's called The Kingsman.
Righto, TJ, righto.
So
all the people watching in the UK, our British accents are horrible. We apologize, except not really.
Nope. So was it Taron Egerton?
Yep, the guy that would eventually become... Oh, God, what's his name?
Superman.
No. Oh, my God, what's his name? He sings a lot of music.
Oh, Elton John.
Elton John. Why am I not remembering names anymore?
I'm just throwing out random ones too, hoping that I'm right.
Scott Stapp. Scott Stapp. All right,
British guy that sings, Ed Sheeran.
TJ, talk to us about Scott Stapp, Taron Egerton.
I mean, essentially, that's what it is. I mean, isn't it? Like, yeah. The Kingsman is supposed to be like, hey, you know, we're training people to become James Bond, and then James Bond is the grown-up version of one of their guys or some shit. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, kind of, but they probably don't say James Bond.
But yeah, like Jared said, finally come out and admit that James Bond is more of an alias. There have been lots of James Bonds and lots of 007s, and, you know, have this guy like as a like a Quincy Longfellow, you know, who was literally picked up off the streets because he couldn't sweep chimneys anymore or something, and they trained him at spy school, and he eventually worked his way up. You know, that would be fine. And then, like, have a You know, we now dub you Quincy Longfellow. Your name is James Bond. I don't know.
I feel like you just pitched a Family Guy cutscene.
You just entirely, TJ just entirely pissed off the entire United Kingdom.
I feel like
that's fine. I'm never going there. So
I feel like James even the, picked him
up. Hello, governor. How you doing? You want to be part of the King's service, yeah? Yeah.
What's your name, you? Kid? Quincy Longfellow.
Hey, you boy. You boy, would you like to be an agent? Well, I'm going to sweep the chimney, sir.
I've got to sweep the chimney, but my stick broke.
Yeah, no, I think that will probably be a Family Guy cutscene in 2022. I think TJ just pitched something. Seth MacFarlane will snatch that up, and there you go.
Seth, yeah. If you're watching, use this, and we give you full credit. Just pay us.
Seth, if you're watching this, hurry up and put out the next season of The Orville.
Yeah, no shit.
I know.
Damn enough it. With this. How many times has The Orville been delayed? Let's look it up.
Well, they once they left Fox and went to
Hulu.
Who'd they go to? Hulu, yeah, exclusive to the Hulu. I think that I think that's Fox's issue. I think they're like trying to hold it up. They're like, which Fox now 20th Century Fox is owned by who? Disney.
Which I think Seth MacFarlane for the longest time has been trying to get out of his Family Guy contract, but they keep saying we're hiring you back and your show's going to keep going on. I think he really wants to transition to just focusing on like Orville and doing live
on
action screen
stuff. Yeah.
But I think he's worked himself. It's kind of like the South Park guys who I think for the last decade have also tried to get fired, but Comedy Central is just like, haha, so funny, here's money. And they're like, no, we hate you. We hate people that watch our show. We hate everyone. Okay, but here's money. All right, fine, we'll take your damn money. Here's another season of South Park.
I mean, which, everybody in South Park could just phone it in at this point. And like, in the most recent episodes they do, they're like, what? Let's see if Canada will censor us on this. And just like throw it out there. And the animators do it and nobody says a word, and they're like, well, like, shit, I guess we'll just keep going, and we don't have to work at this point.
Is American Dad even still, like, doing new episodes?
I don't think
yes, it does. New episodes are coming out January 24th on its current home, which was its new home. If you remember, it used to be on Fox. It then transitioned to TBS. It's hilarious because they get away with a lot of stuff because TBS is like, all right, well, you know, screw it. Be as edgy as you want,
cable,
and that'll
baby.
Put... That'll,
cable,
put, that'll put some butts in the seat, y'all. Just do whatever you want. And they get... I like American Dad more than I like Family Guy.
Blasphemy. Yeah.
No, I agree. Family Guy has gotten stale.
Okay, guys, seriously, Family Guy fan here. First three seasons, everything after that, eh.
Yeah. I liked... Okay, first three seasons, and then the very first, like, 2 minutes of... Season 4.
Where they went through all the shows that have been canceled on Fox.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Well, unfortunately, Fox has to make room for such programming as, and then just lists like 30 TV shows.
Yeah, it was great.
That got canceled. It's like, I guess if all those get canceled, we'll finally be able to come back. And then, yeah.
I still think the South Park guys are probably one of the most fascinating, weird success stories in life. Because they literally made a cartoon as cheaply looking as they possibly could and made it as vulgar as possible with the idea that we'll be fired before this finishes airing its entire first season, to the point that they agreed to make a movie, Basketball, which I really love, because they thought there was no way in hell their show was going to get picked up for a second season, let alone finish airing its first season. And Comedy Central was like, well, you boys, you shoved a satellite up a kid's ass. We want to have you back. we want to see what else you got. You got moxie, boys. You got balls. We want to see more of these moxie balls. Like,
you know, and now the only reason that happened is because fans picked up on it so much. Like, they were doing like a shit ton of merch sales and like everything else. Like, I can't remember when South Park first came out, and I was in junior high, I think. And like everybody was wearing Cartman,
yeah,
you know, yep. Shirts and yep. Oh my god, they killed Kenny and talking about this show. And it's like, I didn't have Comedy Central, so I never saw it, you know, so I never understood it. you know, but I had Fox and had Family Guy. I understood it. So,
yeah,
essentially that's what happened is they just were selling the shit out of merch and everything else. And then just the popularity just rose. So,
yeah. Well, listen, they had no choice but to say 99, 2000s. We were a very edgy, youthful group.